Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards. Yep. Dow knows that picking an everyday red wine can be tricky, and they make that easy with 2018 Dow Central Coast Pinot Noir. Backseaters can enjoy exclusive access and free shipping on orders of three or more bottles with promo code PASO at dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. That is promo code PASO at dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. Yes. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson.
Right.
I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is Stephen English, former stand-up comedian, still current producer and co-host of this podcast.
Got it.
And by alongside me, I mean he is FaceTimed. This may be the first time that I have ever FaceTimed somebody in my bed.
Right. And it is.
I mean, I'm
choice. I am. It's choice. It's like it ain't even my birthday.
You know, it feels like all the other times that we lay in bed together. It feels just like that. It feels like you're here with me.
Right.
And you're, you know, you had badmouthed your mustache. It's looking pretty good.
Yeah. You see, I got to let it go for a little bit.
Yeah.
Dorothy does not like it. Let's just say if I keep the mustache, we're stopping at two kids is all I'm saying.
Dorothy, I've wondered about this. I've never liked a mustache on a girl personally. And of the girls that I've kissed with mustaches, and I'm talking full mustaches.
Sure.
Never enjoyed it.
Right.
Surely this is a dumb question, but I just always think, all jesting aside, kissing somebody with massive facial hair has to be a terrible experience, right? Doesn't it?
Are you asking Dorothy? Because she can't hear you.
Oh, well, so in your experience, Steven.
I'll answer for her. She loves it. She can't get enough of it. She's made out with several Sasquatch. Actual Sasquatch. One Yeti.
Yeah.
and a couple Wendigos. That's pulling deep. Yeah. That's pulling deep from the old cryptid rule book. No, I don't know. I believe
you mean Winnebagos.
Winnebagos, sorry.
She licks the side of an RV.
Yeah, buddy. it's got to be terrible though. I think at this point women put up with so much stuff to be intimate with a man that I think that like at that point it's like who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Oh, what did Dorothy say? I hate his staff. Very subtle.
She does.
Very
not like it.
Subtle.
Yeah, she hates.
Well,
it.
You know who doesn't have facial hair is a one. Babyface Andrew Stanley, our guest today on Don't Make Me Come Back There. We threw out a little thing to you guys, our backseaters, and said, hey, who would you like to have? And multiple of you guys requested Andrew Stanley.
Right.
So Andrew Stanley is back on the pod today.
Sure enough.
We zoomed earlier today. We chat about, he's quarantined with his parents.
Right.
Which is because he lives with two dudes and like who usually are coming and going, and now they're all there, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna go live with my parents for a while. So he's whose parents who also have a lake house that they go to sometimes.
Nice.
Yeah, they have a gym downstairs. He's been working out with his mom.
Yeah, dude, getting ripped with your mom, that's dope.
Dude, getting swole with mom.
Swoleosis with the mom unit.
Yeah, Swole with Mom is a YouTube fitness channel I would subscribe to.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way. I don't mean that in a weird way.
But 90% of the people subscribed would be in a weird way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mom, I like to fitness.
Yeah. Ooh, Mama like to fitness and Daddy like to watch.
This episode is off the rails. I'm sorry, everybody.
Getting there, dude.
I'm not. So we talk about his quarantine life there. He actually recorded this from his girlfriend's apartment. So he's going to visit her occasionally.
Okay.
So we certainly talk about kind of what he's been up to comedy wise and how family dynamics are going. We talk about his sister who they had, she got married during quarantine. The wedding ended up being a little smaller than they thought.
Right.
So it's a good episode.
Yeah.
You guys, hope you enjoy talking with Andrew. And if you guys do, and you're like, man, I wish I just like, I really like that, but I wish I could have gotten like maybe like five more questions or like or 10 more minutes.
Yeah, either exactly. One, but not both. If you give me both, I will slap you
then
in the
there
mouth.
There's a place you can get that, and that is if you sign up as a patron at patreon.com/don't make me come back there.
Yeah.
Where you can sign up at different levels and tiers and get extra content from us. It's just a way that you can give a little more to the podcast and get a little more from the podcast.
Keep dusted off the streets.
Exactly. This week alone, you will see the full video of the episode with Andrew, as well as the extra 5-question 10 minutes that I'll post. And then also, you will get the interview review if you're at a certain tier of my episode with Annie Downs. So, guys, there's a lot of good extra content over on the Patreon. Go check it out, patreon.com/don't make me come back there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a link. Also, I don't know if you guys heard this, but we did sign to be exclusively with Spotify for $100 million this week. So pretty big news in our world.
And then we just quit. We just got the $100 million and don't tell anybody. We're not doing any episodes, though. We got
that's like, you saw the Rogan deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like when you say 100 million, that to me comes across as like 100 bagajillion dillion, you know, like a child just saying an infinite amount of, it's an infinite amount of money.
That means you're going to have at least one kid with a serious drug problem money.
Right. And he already, I'm sure, I have no idea how much Joe Rogan makes, but I mean, if I look at the podcast to add to scale numbers,
yeah,
you know, it's at least like $1 million a week, you know, making.
Because those like, my favorite murderer was getting, what were they were like 40 million something year, like that, yeah. Tens of, like something in the tens of millions a year, and they're not number one. They're definitely not number one.
It is crazy that, you know, the idea of a podcast being exclusive to one place, that's like new in our world.
Yeah, a last podcast on the left just was like the first one I knew that did it. They're like probably like a top 5 podcast.
Yeah, and Spotify bought The Ringer too.
Oh yeah,
Bill Simmons. Yeah. So anyways, Spotify, if you need to reach us, don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com for any business deals or bad parenting advice or anything along those lines. We're here for you.
We'll do it for 100 flat.
The 100 on the dot.
100 on the dot.
Pesos. Yen.
If it's cash, make it happen. If it's cash, if you haven't got to tell the government about us, let's do it.
Any currency other than Greek.
Yeah, we don't want that. What's it called? Like the what are they, just, is it just scoops of yogurt? Just olives, and, yogurt stuffed olives.
And those and one of those little leaf hats that they wear in the Olympics.
Yeah, like
were they, you know,
a laurel. It's called a laurel.
I think. Is
yeah.
that what it's called?
I think
it's
so.
Called a leaf hat.
Yeah,
it's called a leaf hat.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Andrew. He's always a little hoot to catch up with, and yeah, you know, forgive us, guys. We're in the home stretch. I think of the Zoom stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like my general sense on you know, reading the pulse of America is they're tired of quarantine and they're ready to be done no matter what.
Yeah, I heard that Alabama just decided they're just going to kill everybody who's over 75 and then they're just going to open up. They said, we're just going to do it. They said, let's just get rid of them, and then they now got nothing to complain about. I heard that. Yeah. I didn't check the sources, though. I didn't check the sources.
Check the source on that. No. yeah, I don't know. I want to apologize to any of our listeners in Alabama, unless that's true. And then, of which case...
You apologize to me.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Melissa and I were... You know, every once in a while, I kind of just like... I get the moving itch, you know?
Okay.
Which sounds like a disease, like the walking flu or the walking pneumonia.
Walking pneumonia,
It's the moving itch. Whenever I move, I get a real bad itch.
Chafing. That's just chafing. It's just baby powder would take...
A weird thing.
Fix it right up.
It's behind the kneecap. It's a weird spot. I get it. It's...
Disgusting. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
But we were talking about... I made a little grid. I should show it to you, but I don't want to move. I'm so comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, listing cities that we could move to.
Right.
And a little bit this comes from, you know, King Newsome running a tight rein on us right now. And I don't even know, I don't know what's right or wrong, but I don't like that we're like last to open up. You know? But then I sound a little like South Park dad, like they took our jobs, like a little just like complaining. And then also I'm just like, you know, all the perks that we have of living in Southern California are just not really happening right now. You know, we're not really fully able to enjoy the outside. You know, the beaches are closed. Mm. You know, the pools are closed. Mm. We're not seeing our friends and family who live close to here.
You can't just walk outside to see a movie star, which happens, in case you don't know this, if you live in anywhere south of like Modesto, if you walk outside, you're going to see Liam Neeson.
A given.
You're going to see Leslie Nielsen. He's been dead.
Huge.
Yeah. Movie stars aplenty.
Yeah. The Prince of Fresno, Liam Neeson.
Yep, buddy.
Or no, Leslie Nielsen. But anyways, we were going down the list, and nowhere in Alabama made it on the list, actually.
Not even
in consideration.
Not even Whistler's Gulch. I've heard they got
I believe that's a horror movie, Whistler's Gulch.
No, they have a really good cast iron skillet festival every year.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you want a cast iron skillet? You got to go to Whistler's Gulch.
Are you sure it's not a Shakespeare festival?
They used to, but then they called all the actors the F word, and then they got out of there.
You didn't want to say F word there.
I didn't. I'm feeling loose today, buddy. I'm getting loose.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't drank in like days, bro.
Several dows deep.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I haven't drank in days. I'm just loose. I'm just high on life right now.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. There were two cities in the South that got considered. Can you guess them?
Nashville.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess Austin. Austin's at the South.
No, there were two Texas cities. Those were separate, yeah.
Nashville and what's the other cool city in there? Is it like Raleigh, Durham?
No, Raleigh's cool, though. I like Raleigh. You're thinking too small scale, big Southern city. Southern city.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Oh. If you'd have gave me 6 hours, I don't know why I wouldn't think of Atlanta. That's insane. I literally was trying to think of something and I couldn't think of anything.
That's why I told you, because you were so far off. Who guesses Raleigh before?
Well, Raleigh, I heard Raleigh is a cool, like, it's
Raleigh actually is a very
cool
city. It's
like a cool, like, techie kind of, like, cool city now. So, I don't know. I'll never go.
Yeah, you know what? Come to think of it, I might actually put Raleigh on the list because they have two clubs. That's part of it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, but you also kind of like, there's you need a good airport situation, and their airport situation is whack.
Yeah.
Anyways, what I'm saying is one thing that I've decided in quarantine is they don't need to live near you.
You know what? I've been holding this under my hat for a long time. I was the one that ate the bat. So it's kind of on my fault. So you're right. That's the right instinct. Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say that I would need to live like close to you because like every once in a while, like you hook me up with Comic-Con tickets or stuffed animals.
A whole box of stuffed animals.
Or you're like, hey, I'm going to show you how to use your camera for your Zoom show and run you over this mic.
I had already sent you those links.
Send me those links.
I did. I sent you before. I'll resend you the thing. I sent you in.
Well, the show's over. The show happened before I even started.
I
got the sweet mic setup that I'll bring to you, and I'll show you those light setup. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Boom. Just no show. Not only do you no show, you didn't text me till well after. I was sitting around waiting, but hilarious. I was
definitely out of town on that. I wasn't at the house that whole rest of that whole weekend.
You were out of spirit and out of mind.
And I was out of my mind. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're hanging in there, buddy.
You too,
thanks,
man,
for continuing to work on the pod here. I will if you guys want to continue to rate and subscribe and share this with friends, we'd sure appreciate that. Yeah. You know, give us a review, shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. All those kinds of fun things. And I think, buddy, I bet we can do these in person within the next couple of weeks.
I think so, too.
Because aren't we allowed to do, like, groups of 10 now just from a distance?
Yeah.
And from a distance.
We'll be able to all sit on one side of the island. You can sit on the other side of the island, and we can get it going.
You're talking about Coronado?
No, I'm talking... Yeah, no, yeah, Aruba. Do it in Aruba.
Aruba. Okay. Well, we'll do it again in person soon, and it'll be good. It'll be really good.
Right.
What if we just get together? What if the next time we see each other, we're like, I'm over it.
Yeah. We just get together. We're like, you know what? No, I like it. I don't like this.
No. Yeah. One of these days we need to do a whole intro catching up our listeners about all the drama in the San Diego comedy scene.
I legitimately
just get into the weeds with them.
It's so funny, man. Like I told you, I deleted Facebook from my phone. So I still have a Facebook account, obviously, but I deleted Facebook from my phone, and then I'll go on there and I will get like, I'll start looking at the San Diego comedy. But then I think, what am I here for? What good could be happening in the San Diego comedy Facebook page right now? It's going to be, I'm going to guess it's going to be, I don't even want to give clues or say names, but I'm just imagining weird beefs going on and weird people talking about
a lot of clowns, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was kind of going for. Yeah,
clowns and trees. Is that clue specific enough?
Trees,
like
trees.
A certain type of tree.
Tree,
like
Atlanta, Atlanta, Georgia.
I was gonna say what type Nailed of tree it. Is a what type of tree is a Christmas tree?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, you don't know.
Gotcha. Atlanta, that's right. No clue. Anyways, guys, I'm sorry to even bring any of that up. It's not nearly even somewhat interesting, but it's if you're a local
At
comic.
All. Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy. I'll send this all over to you. Thank you everybody for listening to the podcast. Enjoy this episode with Andrew Stanley.
Better up.
Bye.
There we are, Andrew Stanley, live from his girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's scandalous information or not, but...
No, well, I'm quarantining in my parents' house, which is the opposite of scandalous.
Yeah.
But I'm visiting today with my girlfriend, and I wanted to still be able to do this. So I have a much nicer background than I normally would.
This is. I was going to say, this looks like some modern art here.
Yeah, I think she... It looks like she won it in an auction. I don't know where it came from, but she does. She's
you may
fancy.
Have been performing on that auction.
Yeah, probably not. If there's nice art being auctioned, I'm usually not hired for that.
How much MC and auctioneer? I've never done any auctioneer gigs. I'd assume you have not because you talk slowly.
Yeah, I have performed at fundraisers where they also have an auction, but no one's ever been like, Andrew, do you want to be the auctioneer? I don't do that, and I don't like to do the ask. Like sometimes if you do a fundraiser, they'll be like, "Do you want to do the ask?" The comedian last year did the ask, and I'm like, "Who?"
Yeah.
How do you transition from my dumb jokes to being like, "But seriously, guys, who has $200?"
And a lot of mine are a lot of the fundraisers you do are like, you know, for like children's charities, and my act is borderline anti-child.
I was kidding about that stuff, guys. Children are important and they're great.
Yeah,
so these open those checkbooks
need help.
Sometimes the techniques that these like professional auction people use are pretty manipulative feeling. I remember I did one. It was for this recovery center, and these guys, first of all the people that live in this recovery house prepared some songs, and it was things like, I wish I could remember some of the songs. They were so brutal. They were about like, I used to shoot up heroin, but now the only thing I shoot up is the love of Jesus. I'm not even exaggerating. It was things like that, but they being dead serious. And then a guy gets up there and he's like, look at these guys, you know, and he's going, all right, who here can donate $500? And they start it real high, and then they say, raise your hand if you can spare $2,000. They get one person, then they go down to
$1,800,
and they just work it all the way down to their $20. Like, who can't give $20? And by the end of it, everybody's giving money. They're like, it feels weird not to if you do it that way, which I guess is good because you raise money, but
yeah.
Don't go to one of those auctions and plan on not being a little bit manipulated.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good time for me to mention my Patreon.
Yeah, let's bring it up. That's actually why why Dustin brought me in today. Who here has $40?
Speaking of different tiers of money, no,
who amongst us can't give $20 to Dustin, you guys?
Well, I feel like not to crap on our fellow brethren too much, and whatever. What's the female for brethren?
Or sisterin.
Sister.
That's my one. This Atlanta comic Joel Byers has a podcast, and all his followers are brethren and sisterin. So he refers to them.
Is that true? Is it sisterin?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what he says. I don't know if that's true, but that's the only version I've heard.
It's not nearly as smooth as brethren. Brethren, I mean, it's literally sounds like a breath, right? But sisterin is
more so. Brethren is like two syllables, sisterin is three. Which
sister
makes it less.
Sisterin sounds like a verb. Like, you're sisterin. I'm out here being a sister.
Yeah, we're going out tonight, and we're sisterin, baby.
Sisterin all night.
You're gonna wanna put that shrimp on the pan, and you're gonna wanna sit until it's sisterin.
or it's like that's where you store something. It's like a sister.
I've got a barking dog over here.
That's good. My bit was about to miss really hard anyway.
Okay, I hope it wasn't great because
it wasn't. It absolutely wasn't.
It's not my dog.
I'm honestly thankful for the dog heckle.
Okay, it was well timed. We can edit in dog noises whenever you feel like a joke doesn't work the way you want.
It's great.
That's the beauty of virtual.
Oh man, yeah. It's like a live show where you're bombing and somebody says something and you're like, thank God. I need it. Yeah. I need something. I need it.
The rest of the audience is assuming that you disrupted my joke and they're mad at you, but they wouldn't be mad if they knew the joke, what it was going to end up being. Wait, no. So did you, if you already talked about this, we don't have to talk about it, but did you like a live show for people, right? Earlier this week?
Yeah, we did one on Sunday, and then we're going to do, I just announced today, going to do another one on Father's Day.
Cool. How did it go? Had you done a bunch of stuff like that, or was this
I had done a few, you know, little Zoom shows and just for the ones that comics are putting on, and then like some like fundraiser ones, and there's some normal gigs that I was going to do that kind of changed to virtual.
Yep.
And then ones like the one I did with you where I just sent you a set. That was nice.
Yeah, that's the best version. Just share it. And then, you know,
it was funny that
people tweet you.
That is funny because they paid me for it. And I was like, this was available online for free. I just sent a YouTube link.
Hey, it's like, what are those people? They said they're comedy curators.
Yeah.
People that steal everybody's tweets and stuff.
Yes.
This is like that. We did a show like that, but we asked permission and we gave credit. But we're just like, send us your best clip and we're going to put it in this fundraiser.
And you gave money, so I'll take that.
Yeah, very little, but yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for doing it. You've been doing some too, right? I think I saw you did one with Convoy of Hope or something, or?
Yeah, I've done, I guess, three kind of fundraisers. I did Convoy of Hope, and then Aaron Schoening and I just did one for Heart for Africa. It was actually cool. They brought us into like a studio where it was just like a handful of people, and we did it from like an actual like green screen studio.
That's cool.
And then I did one early on with Heart for Lebanon. So I'm kind of torn. My heart's torn between Lebanon and Africa based on, I don't know. I hope the Lebanon people aren't upset that I did Heart for Africa.
They're probably furious.
You know, hearts change.
They do.
Based on who wants to hire me.
Then did you?
But it is weird. It's weird doing the virtual stuff, especially when it's live. I mean, it's not hard to imagine that it's much worse for people that don't do stand up.
Yeah. Did you?
At least the way it feels.
Were you able to hear the crowd, the people, or no?
For some of them, for the Convoy of Hope one, I used clips. I was live hosting it, but then I was kind of like introducing clips for people. And that was the one that you were on. Or no, that wasn't the one. You were on a different event. But I did a similar setup where I had people's clips. We started out on mine, then I live hosted and brought some different comedians' clips on. But then the Heart for Africa one, it was kind of like a they kind of set it up like a late night couch situation where there was a host, and then they showed like a clip of me, and then they had me on and we talked. So right. It wasn't, which is better than just up there talking to nothing. At least there's right. a person, and it feels a little more natural. But I've done, like you, I've done like the comedians shows where it's just, you're kind of talking to your camera and then hopefully people are laughing.
Right.
And then some of them, they have like designated audience members that are unmuted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which actually helps, at least in the ones I've done.
Those are
it depends on who you get, I guess.
Yeah. But, those are they're designated laughers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels better, but I don't know that it is, but it helps to have something to kind of latch onto.
Yeah. Yeah. I, the one that I've done and I've preferred these, I just do like, I literally can't see, I can't hear or see anybody.
Okay, I was going to ask, yeah.
And
how much time are you doing?
An hour.
An hour, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, it's mostly like, the ones that I'm doing that I'm promoting, the quarantine comedy ones, yeah. Like, it's, this last one I did was like all quarantine jokes. It was like very little.
Oh, cool.
Very little of my act. And I was like, mostly just like, feeling like, hey, I got all these jokes. I'm going to put them somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, go get my 12 YouTube views.
Yeah. Hey, it's great.
It's the next viral hour.
Material. It's not like you're going to be able to, hopefully we won't be able to use that material for
the next year.
I hope it's useless soon.
We never say anything about quarantine again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. So when you're doing that, are you looking at comments and stuff, or nope. Are you just barreling through it? Okay, cool.
Barreling through it. It's like doing a podcast by yourself. It's not a thing that we don't know how to do. It's just takes.
It's the Bill Burr podcast.
It's totally that. Yeah.
Just a rant. Yeah. Yeah.
So it like
that's great.
The only thing that I can see in my like little right hand corner here is like how many people are in, and that's because I'm moderating it, and really I'm making sure that nobody like hacks in as like and tries to be a host or a panelist. But
dude, that happened. Like people are like little virtual show terrorists sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I did I've been performing on this like virtual wine tasting that this guy in Atlanta does. And there was one, and he has like a live musician do like two songs, and then he'll have like maybe a comedian do like 5 minutes of something. And then most of it is like he's doing presentations, like PowerPoint presentations, and interviewing sommeliers about the wines that the people are drinking.
Yeah.
But there was a problem a few weeks ago where somebody had just put like pornography in their little window, just one of the audience members, and he had to like pause and be like, I'm sorry guys, I gotta kick somebody out. But it was just like, who's getting something from doing that? Like, so you got to be vigilant if you're gonna let your audience members be on the screen.
Yeah, I would love like more wholesome hacking.
Just, yeah, like it's so like a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, or even just like somebody hacks in and then suddenly like it's like Wally is playing behind them, you know?
Yeah, they're just gonna get you kicked off for like infringement.
Yeah.
Like, just playing a Pixar movie. Disney, it's not going to mess around. Yeah, they'll get you pulled off for showing a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's devious.
That's so that's
Braveheart on it.
Going into it, I was like, internet connection and hacking. That was like the only thing that I was like super worried about. And I will say that the only feedback that I could get was seeing if the number of people watching was going down.
And, right, which it will is the problem, no matter how well it's going.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So you're just, and I would be like, I'd tell a joke, and then if it went from like, you know, 400 to 375, and I was like, yikes.
Yeah, it was like, okay, that one did not work. Yeah, that's the only way we know if our jokes work. We just watch who's leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that one only made 5 people leave, which exactly. is what, you know,
I think that's
the average
I prefer it, is I don't know if I'm bombing.
Yeah.
I don't,
that's a good thing and a bad thing.
I don't want a bomb on a Zoom show. I've been on a couple where like the guy before me, like even the virtual or like even like the laughers weren't laughing, and I was like, oh no, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. The room, like if you walk somebody from a comedy club, which for people that aren't comedians, that's when somebody leaves during your set. Usually we say that if it was because of your set, you kind of walked the person.
Right.
But you have to really upset somebody for them to like get up out of their chair and leave the room. But on a virtual show, there's nothing to stop somebody from being like, next.
It's so easy. Yeah, you're just like a YouTube clip that they can, you know. It reminds me, one of my favorite like stories is like my first, I ran a show for a while at this little like, it's so funny because these things like don't even exist anymore except for this one place. It was literally, it was an internet cafe.
Okay.
It's like in early days of the internet, you would go to these places to, you know, use their internet and they'd have a little computer set up and it's called.
But not a coffee shop. Just
it's like a coffee internet. shop/internet cafe.
Okay. And it's called it. Which now all coffee shops would be internet cafes.
Exactly. Probably. Except these ones had the computers too. Like there's actual.
Computers. Oh, they have like the computer bank. Okay.
Exactly. Nice. And it's called Space Bar. Very clever. Got it. Coffee shop and internet cafe. And I ran a show there for maybe a year or two. And I remember one time, and barely anybody would come, you know, and it was like, as you could see, there were some fun shows, but I remember one time there was a guy who like started kind of like looking at us, like watching the show. And then he turned around on his computer and put his headphones on and then started watching a clip of Daniel Tosh doing stand-up.
I was going to say, I was thinking of where you're going with that, and I'm like, worst case scenario is he starts watching another comedian.
Yeah, yeah. And I couldn't blame him because I was like, well, that is better stand-up.
That is, you know, he's a professional. He's doing not comedy here.
So. Yeah, exactly. He's not here.
Watching a theater. Him do it in the theater. Yeah. That's so funny. That is, it's like if the audience member has their own, I mean, people could do that on their phones, I guess.
Totally.
In a comedy club. I'm surprised. I bet that has happened, but it's so funny. Obvious when the screen, when you can see the screen.
It was pretty.
At least it wasn't somebody like on your level that he just chose better. Yeah, at least it was true. Like somebody that was further along.
I know. I should have been like, hey, there's, if you type my name in, there's some clips that are better of me. You can watch me and it'll be better than
that. In front of a bigger audience.
Exactly. So
yeah.
So you're quarantined at home, huh, with the folks?
Yeah, I've been there for like 2 months.
Yeah.
It's been I figured it was going to be better because the place I rent in Atlanta, I have two roommates and we like share one bathroom, which is not usually a problem because I'm traveling a lot and they travel and I work from home and they go into the office. So, but with a quarantine, we're kind of stepping all over each other. So I was like, I'm just going to quarantine myself long enough to know that I don't have it. Then I'm just going to go to my parents where they have like a gym in their basement and like stuff. And I have my own bathroom. I have several bathrooms to choose from.
Yeah.
So it's been great. It's been fun. My mom's doing my laundry and cooking and I've spent no money.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of a great situation. My mom's thrilled. She doesn't want me to move out. She goes, we probably never would have had this much time with you if it weren't for this virus.
Oh.
So it's been cool. But I'm ready to get back out, I think. But it's not as bad. I feel like I'm very lucky to have parents that I enjoy living with at this stage of my life.
Right. And have a big enough place to spread out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It helps that they've got some extra space and I can go upstairs and be alone for the whole day if I need to.
Yeah, and they live in the city that you live in. I mean, nearby.
Yeah, they're like 45 minutes from where I am. So it's not. So I've been headed going back and forth, you know, getting stuff and getting stuff done. But
are there any other kids there or just you?
Nope, both my other siblings are married. So they are my sister. I'll tell you, my sister got married like the first week of coronavirus. So,
really?
Yeah, so she was supposed to get married like first week of April. And then, you know, middle of March, all this stuff started popping up and they were like, okay, it was going to be like a huge, like 500 person wedding.
Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, maybe we should make it like 150. And then it was like, okay, maybe we shouldn't do it at all. Okay, maybe. And then they ended up, we just did it at my parents' house with like 20 family members and just made it work. But it's been funny though, because I feel like this is wedding season. So it's throwing off a lot of people's weddings. And I feel like most people are like, oh, we'll just wait. But Christians are like, we have been waiting and we are getting married. I don't care who has to not be here. And you know. So I think the percentage of Christian couples that just go through with it is higher than the average.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But we got them married.
Yeah. If people are just like already just like living together or whatever, they're like, yeah, we'll push it back. That's not a big deal.
Yeah. Who cares? We're already living together. What's the, who we'll wait till our friends can come. But
that's hilarious.
So that was our big thing at the beginning of quarantine. And so kind of after the wedding is when I went back with my parents. But
how was it on your sister? Like, I know that's going to sound hard, you know, or that sounds hard.
Yeah. I mean, she's not, you know, she's was obviously looking very much forward to getting married and having all her friends there, but she's not, it wasn't as upsetting to her as it might be to like the average bride that's been meticulously planning from a very early age. Like, she definitely cared about that stuff, but she also is cool to roll with what's going on. And right. She was really sad a lot of her friends couldn't be there, but it ended up being really special. It was just parents, and we, you know, didn't do like a rehearsal dinner. So we did the ceremony in the afternoon, and then we kind of did like a reception / rehearsal dinner where we did all the toasts and
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And it ended up being really intimate and cool. And I don't think that she would change it other than just a few of her friends that she would have liked to have been there. But yeah. But it ended up being really cool, and it'll be a way cooler story to tell down the road.
Yeah. I
mean, but we'll see. I think they still have the deposit down on the place where the rehearsal dinner was supposed to be. So they're kind of holding out that maybe when this all lightens up that they could go have kind of a bigger party with a lot of their friends
right
at that place.
Which in but, Atlanta will be like next week.
Yeah, we're already pretty much back to normal here in Georgia. I've been getting haircuts this whole time.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. The like kids, the funniest thing I thought here, other than the bowling, is that like the governor said, like, if kids want to get their driver's license, they don't have to take the test anymore.
So funny. So
and funny. They can just get a note from their parents. So I've been pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Driving around because I just got my driver's license this week, and I just forged my mom. No. But I haven't noticed anything crazy, but I guess it is a good time to learn to drive because there's no traffic. But that was scary.
Yeah.
You had a funny tweet about it, didn't you? And now I'm remembering you had a, I'm not going to make you say your tweet, but you had a.
I said that it was something along the lines of, in my experience, it's much easier to pass your driving test than to get your parents' approval.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't think that I'm not that vain that I will not happily repeat a good joke.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't know. Justin actually asked me to set him up for that before we went live. He was like, if you could bring up some of my funny tweets.
What did
I'll recite them humbly.
Yeah, yeah. Don't bring up the bad ones.
You're gonna beg me. I'll say.
Yeah. What did your sister do? I mean, they can't go on like a honeymoon.
Well, they went to Florida, which also isn't the other state that's kind of open. You know, we stick together here in the southeast. But we had a family friend that wasn't using like their vacation house, so they said, "You guys can just come up." And stay there. So they went and stayed there for like a week. The beaches were closed, so they couldn't really go out. But the guy had his, like, it's really, really nice, wealthy family. So they had like a cool convertible that was just in the garage. They said, take it for a spin if you guys get bored. So they took this cool, they drove this cool car and pretty much just hung out in the beach house and then came back. But yeah, it's like such a weird time to get married.
Weird, yeah.
I'm sure everybody's kind of dealing with it differently, but one thing is if you get married and then you're immediately quarantined together and can't go anywhere, you learn if it was a good decision to get married pretty fast. And they see, because they are with each other 100%. They're also doing like seminary together is how they met. So they're like finishing seminary. So they're in class together. They live together and they just, so they're, I think it's going to work out because they seem to be doing well. And I don't know. Yeah, that's a real test for a couple is getting married and then having to just be locked in jail together.
No kidding. Yeah. It's like, I think depending on the relationship, right? It's like, this is cool or this is a nightmare. You know, obviously, extreme circumstances where it's a very, you know, scary situation. But in a new marriage, like you're, you know, it's just, you're like, oh, I can't wait to spend the rest of our lives together. And the other one, like, I'd imagine a like, month or two in, you're like, so you got to work at some point, right? You got.
Yeah, I thought we'd be able to leave the house, you know, I didn't know it'd be.
Oops.
100. Yeah, it's okay. Very unprofessional. But
my bad.
Yeah. No, you're good. So behind you, is this your normal office? Did you create a quarantine collage or is that your normal
desk? Oh, I absolutely created a quarantine collage.
I'm realizing as I ask that most of the people listening are not going to be seeing this video.
No, but they would have seen it in some other videos, and this is what the quarantine background looks like. Yeah, I feel like a lot of us are just like, okay, well, I gotta start making some videos of some type and make it look a little better. So
this, yeah, which part of my house are people gonna get to know?
Yeah, and if you could see, it's so funny because I think if you looked at this, you'd be like, oh, that's like a cool office setup or what? I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah.
In reality, is it's like a corner of my bedroom, and totally like adjacent and like off to the rest of the room, like. It makes zero sense. It doesn't fit well. But it looks okay.
Yeah, it looks. It's great.
And I think that we're gonna like. I've been trying to make more videos and stuff. And like that was kind of the setup too. It was not just the Zoom calls, but like, all right, let's get out of my kitchen and let's
gonna have a studio. Yeah, it's great.
We're all trying. So
yeah,
You know, it's so. I was just thinking as you were talking about the Georgia stuff. I didn't realize how many Georgia-based guests that I've had. I've had Chunin on.
Yeah.
And last week I had Jenny and Caleb on.
Oh, good.
No, they're not in Georgia, but plenty to say.
Yeah, they're still in L.A. right now. They didn't come home, did they?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the weird thing is like, you know, I'd be curious if people, do you know anyone who has like flown to go home, you know, like?
My roommate's sister lives in San Francisco and she flew home. Because his other sister was actually getting married, so she flew home and then just stayed.
Okay.
But I don't know that many comedians. Like, I know some New York comedians. My buddy Mandel, I don't know. You probably haven't met Mandel. He's a great Atlanta comic. He was kind of halfway moving to New York right when all this started. So he had, like, moved a ton of his stuff and was staying with a friend. But it was going to be, like, a six-month thing. And then he pretty much just came right back home. Because why stay in New York if...
Right.
During this, that's who I really feel bad for. I feel so lucky to have like the big house with my parents. I can't imagine being in like a New York apartment, especially there where it's as bad as it is.
Yeah.
Just so being tight. In like a tight space.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have a big place, but it feels tight with our kids in it.
How's the homeschool going? That's what I want to know.
We're all homeschoolers now, baby. It's not really homeschooling in the sense that we don't have like a set curriculum, you know, it's the schools, like there's been a lot of parents who have been like, this is ridiculous how the schools are doing this. And they don't know like the things that they're providing for us. Like they weren't planning on this. They're figuring this out too.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. They didn't have a virus contingency plan.
Exactly. Exactly. There's one teacher that's very funny at my kid's school where he's like, this was like his last year. And and he's like not sent, like he's giving like no feedback on homework and like not even to give us like the answers to the questions or guidance, but he's like making little YouTube videos where he's singing Beatles songs and stuff.
He's just so done. He's just senioritising it. He's just like, listen, you've learned everything you're going to learn from me. I'm going to send you some stuff because that's what they tell me I have to do, but it's going to be on my terms.
I mean, imagine if you're in your last year and they're like, hey, for the last 4 months, you got to figure out online schooling. And he's like, no, I'm just going to play Let It Be again. And he's like sending it to the kids and stuff.
And he's not a music teacher. What is?
No. He's like a math teacher. It's so funny. One of my friends told me that one of their kids' teachers gets on the Zoom call and like we'll just kind of like be talking about like nothing, you know, like not lecturing, like just kind of meandering just all over the place. Yeah. And then like the tests at the end are like, what color was my coffee cup?
What, just observational? Yeah. It's like I spy test. It's like, oh man, yeah. It's just the lyric. What are the lyrics to "Let It Be"? Who are the members of the Beatles?
Okay.
Which members are still living?
Yeah.
It's just all Beatles trivia. Yeah. That's valuable stuff.
Yeah.
Because are they done with school? Is it summer yet, technically?
It's supposed to be summer in a couple weeks, like mid-June. And it's hard, man. I feel for my kids. But it's like, at the same time, like we were talking to my son today. And we're like, man, he's like, I don't want to do the homework and da-da-da. It's like, you have never in your whole life had to do less schooling than you do right now.
Yeah, right.
Best case scenario, you do 3 hours a day. Best case.
Right.
And yeah, that's less than half of what you normally do. You normally spend six at school and then do homework after school. But it's just that compartmentalization of their like, mom, you know, home is not school and school and mom is not teacher. And yeah, I definitely feel like inadequate on how to help on a lot of these things. Not just like the stereotypes, which are true of like, I don't know the answer to that question, but
long
also
division.
Like, exactly. But also just like the way that like they were teaching them curriculum, you know, or even like, so my daughter's in kindergarten and they're like, okay, circle which one of these make the long A noise. And I'm like, what's the long A noise? You know, I haven't, it's been 30 years since I was taught this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Exactly. So
the long A noise. That sounds like a weird, that's a good band name.
The long A.
The long A. Yeah. So do you normally send kids to camp or anything like that? I was talking to this guy that works at one of like the big outdoor summer camps.
Yeah.
And I was asking him if they were affected, and he goes, we've given everybody that, you know, signed up the chance to get their money back, but most of the parents are just like, nope, take them. We are done with our kids. We don't care if they are in danger.
Yeah. Well, I don't think our camps are like happening out here right now. You know, California is just so much different than Georgia.
Yeah. I think that's
so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. We're back. Yeah. We'll let you guys know how it goes.
Yeah.
I think you can see what happens to us.
Well, that's the crazy thing right now, right? Is this, there hasn't been that increase in spikes in Georgia and Florida, right? Like,
well, dude, Nashville, they opened the club already.
Did they open? I know they were
supposed past weekend. Maybe they didn't. I knew they were planning to. They were planning to, and they didn't. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but that's what I'm saying. Okay. It's just interesting to like, it'll be, you know, everything, we've proven that any and everything can be politicized. And
oh my gosh, yeah.
My most liberal friends who are like, I can almost sense it. It feels like they want there to be a spike in Georgia.
Yeah, isn't it weird when you get to the point where you want your beliefs to be right so bad that you root against?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird.
Like you're rooting for people to get the virus. Yeah.
And people, that happens on both sides, but yeah, totally. For sure. Yeah. That is one is like, no, we want to be right to have the mask thing, you know?
It's one of the,
who knew that masks could be politicized as much as they have been.
Yeah. It's one of those times where it's just like, it's so great to like be a comedian and not be like a political based comedian who has brand or anything. Cause you're like, this is like both sides, like the people who like refuse to wear a mask in Costco because it's their American rights. Hilarious.
Yeah.
So
yeah. If you have a mask in your car, but then you choose not to wear it because of your political. Yeah. To me, it's like, even if you don't believe that, it makes other people more comfortable.
Yeah.
So just do it for that. We do things like that all the time. That's why we wear pants.
Yeah.
It's not because you love wearing pants, it's because everybody else hates it when you don't wear them.
Yeah.
So just wear one if it makes, you know.
Yeah, it is your right to text and drive. You have that right.
Yeah.
Technically it's against the law, so you don't have that right.
But even in Georgia it's actually against the law.
Yeah, well that's the thing. The reason it's against the law is because you might kill somebody else. You know, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
If
it only affected you, nobody would care.
Exactly. That's my hot take on why I hate the seatbelt law, but that's totally unrelated.
You hate the seatbelt law?
Well, because I do wear a seatbelt, but not wearing a seatbelt only affects you. It doesn't affect anybody else.
That's true. That's a good point. It's like smoking cigarettes. It's like, well, it's allowed, but
yeah,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't want to wear a seatbelt, then that's your own dumb decision, you know, but
that's a good point. If anything, if we didn't have seatbelts, would people drive safer?
There have been times
probably not
where I'm a little more cautious because I haven't put my belt on yet.
Yeah. Yeah, take out the airbags. It's like saying the people that say we should play football without face masks, there would be less concussions because people wouldn't lead with their heads as often.
That's what they say in rugby, right? There's so many less concussions in rugby because
it would just ruin a few people's lives way worse. But overall, it would be, you know.
So when do you think that you're going to start getting back to work?
I don't know.
You mean
live events and stuff?
Yeah.
I know I've got stuff in July that seems like it's definitely going to happen, but it's the one that I am talking about is it's in Utah in like the mountains. So yeah, I feel like that's a pretty safe place to start back.
Yeah.
So I've got that one scheduled. That's like my only flight that I actually have like scheduled that was booked, you know, after all this.
Right.
So I'm planning on July. Got a few messages from bookers in Atlanta that are just they sent out some stuff to like the comedy community. They're like, hey, I know a lot of you aren't comfortable doing shows yet, but if you are, let us know because we're starting to talk to some venues about what our options are.
Right.
So I don't know if that I would guess late June here people start trying stuff, but
right
back to normal, I think it's going to be late this year, probably if then.
Yeah,
for us to just be traveling like we used to and doing shows. It seems like it's gonna be a long time before we can do a show for like 500 people.
Well, I was talking to a friend about that, and I feel like, you know, I think you and I talked about that when my kind of intention, I was hoping to record like a special this spring, early summer.
Oh yeah, we talked about that.
Fall in the latest. And I was like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to have a capacity room in a while.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, do you want to do your special to audiences that are socially distanced, spread exactly. out? Like
that's not going to make for a good, you know, a good sound, but, you know what, either way it might be, you know, say we kind of get back to work here in the summer and, you know, maybe January, February is when crowds are allowed to be full again. It's probably going to take me 3 to 4 months to remember how my act goes anyways.
I know. I'm not going to want to put anything. I was talking to Aaron Weber about that because he was supposed to record his album like
next month.
Next month, yeah. Yeah. And he was they moved his date, and he was like, yeah, I don't know when I would even want to do it because I don't want to do it first thing back. We're all going to have to get ramped back up.
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah, we're not.
I get rusty. I used to get rusty if I didn't do stand up for like 4 days. I would feel it. You know.
Yeah. This is. It was like, I did the math on it. It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, the total amount of days consecutive that I hadn't done stand-up was greater than the entire 2019 days I missed, you know, like it was like,
yeah, no,
so
for
rusty
sure.
at this
yeah.
point. I don't know how
it's going
to
be weird. I think that it's going to make, I think I'm hoping that it allows us to change what we do in like a positive way. Cause I remember there were some things that I had gotten some notes from some industry people about things I should think about doing differently. And it's frustrating to not be able to work on it right after getting like some helpful notes.
Yeah.
But I almost am hoping that a bunch of time off will be like a reset, like kind of flush out the system and be able to start working on some stuff you might have had a harder time working on. But
I think it's funny you say that. I've thought the same thing. I think I've spent enough time off stage that when I come back, it will be and feel different because like you said, it's like a reset. It's like, you know, it's the act itself, the beats, the rhythm, it's so easy to get in some of those like little just bad habits that hopefully have gone away. But I'm definitely going to bring notes up the first few times that I do an hour.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of forgiveness for things like that for a little while. So might as well. But yeah, there's some jokes that like I think about now from my act and I'm like, I think I just was still telling that because I was just telling it. But yeah. Now that I have a bunch of time to like look back, I'm like, I don't think I really want to use that anymore. I need to definitely change that if I'm going to keep. So it is, you know, on the positive side, it is a good way to kind of take a step back and look at what you were doing and decide how much of that you want to keep doing and what you want to change. So
yeah,
I say that. And then probably first time back, I'll just be exactly where I was.
As long
the books that I wrote during this, but
yeah, as long as you don't immediately start going into COVID stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. People are probably not going to want to hear about that. And it's been hard for me to write about anything other than that. I've had a few things that I'm kind of excited about trying out on stages, but it's hard to write not through kind of the filter of how it feels right now.
Totally. Totally.
So I totally relate to you doing that hour of just kind of quarantine observations. That's a great way to kind of get that stuff in a valuable place.
Just wanted to, you know, get it out there and be, you know, and also like stand up is like, has to be tighter and more refined, you know, than like me just talking on a Zoom call or whatever, you know, like that's not nearly as,
right. It's not a well-crafted, you know,
set up punch
hour, but it's but like you said, people are used to listening to things in to podcasts that aren't
totally
laughs per minute. You know?
Yeah. What's it like? What's, you know, with, Papa Stanley right now, is he doing all his, you know, Zoom calls? What's he doing? Or when are they talking about getting together? And, you know, he's one of those cool liberal Georgia pastors.
He'll cool, probably laid back. Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. Liberal. Maybe that's not
he's
the word.
Well, it's funny because all the super conservative people think he's really liberal and all the super liberal people think he's really conservative. So I feel like that's a good place for a pastor to be.
It's where you want to be.
Both sides think you're too far the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, you know, they've been so on the ball about trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. They haven't just been sitting on their hands. For those of people that don't know, my dad is a pastor of a big church in Atlanta. And they've been recording sermons to an empty room, and he's recording on like a Monday, and then they're releasing it on a Sunday. So it's not live. But it's given them some cool opportunities to do some cool things with music. So like the music can be kind of like more like a music video with some different camera stuff than they would normally do.
Right.
The sermons are mostly the same, but a few of the pastors have done, like one of them did it from like an empty restaurant instead of from the kind of mixing it up. But I think they're talking about trying to start doing a smaller version of normal, maybe in August. But that's very, you know, that's just the working plan. But that changed, you know, as we learn the new information, that could definitely change. But
are you and your parents like doing like outings and stuff together? Are you just like waving, hey, there you are? Or like, are you actually spending the three of you time together?
I mean, we're hanging out at the house a good amount and watching movies and stuff. But my mom and I have been working out together, which has been I've been telling people I'm very encouraged by how good of shape she's in. It's really impressive, and she can do more pull-ups than me. I've figured out I'm probably never going to get an inheritance from them because they're both so healthy.
They're going to outlive you, yeah.
They're going to outlive me. By the time I get anything, it'll if I have kids, they'll be the ones getting it. but my mom is really healthy, but she's terrible at workout playlists. It's a bad situation, but we can't listen to mine because mine she would definitely not like.
Yeah.
But hers, they're not even worship. It's just like Billy Joel.
Oh, the and worst.
Like, it, which is, I don't dislike Billy Joel, but I can't work out to like Uptown Girl. You know, like I can't squat to that, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's how your kids are going to feel though, like to working out to Eminem.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It's like, all right. But I bet Uptown Girl really gets your mom moving.
Yeah, well, even she was like, this isn't normally, you know, you have a playlist and you normally only listen to it. Then other people are listening and you're like, oh yeah, I guess I do listen to this. hers, I think, is more of like, she puts it on like a Pandora station, but it's all like
I see.
Billy Joel type music. But, But that's been fun. My parents have like a lake house, so we've gone up there a few weekends, which is nice, like change of scenery. And at the lake is crazy busy though. It's like Saturday we were up there, and it was like as busy as ever.
Georgia, baby.
Up in Georgia. North Georgia. North Georgia is, you know, they're not taking it that seriously, but they've been pretty clear from it being up there, kind of away from everything. So,
well, man, I'm glad that you are enjoying time with the fam, and I appreciate you doing this. And, yeah, you know, hopefully we'll be back out running into each other and or going on 11-hour drives together.
I hope so, man. Yeah, I would love to go on an 11-hour drive to do club shows with you.
That would be absolutely fun. All right, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.